Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The Chicago Police Department has unveiled a new policy prohibiting its officers from chasing people on foot simply because they run away. Hey, wait a minute. I thought that was the whole idea. Or because they have committed minor offenses. The policy, which was introduced Tuesday, also encourages cops to consider alternatives. Like what? Throwing a frisbee at them? To pursuing someone who is visibly armed with a firearm. Oh, okay. Under the policy, officers may give chase if they believe a person. I like that. Give chase. Hey, would you give me chase? I'm running. I'm taking off. If they believe a person is committing or is about to commit a felony, a Class A misdemeanor such as domestic battery or a serious traffic offense that could risk injuring others such as drunken driving or street racing. What's wrong with street racing? As long as you do it kind of like East of Eden style, or no, wait, Rebel Without a Cause. Remember that, James Dean? Perhaps most significantly, the new policy makes clear that the days of officers giving chase just because someone tries to get away from them are over. People may avoid contact with a member for many reasons other than involvement in criminal activity, the police states. The long-awaited foot chase ban is expected to go into effect by the end of the summer after the city's 11,900 uniformed cops receive training. They need to receive training for that? Just don't run. That's it. It's the easiest thing in the world. Just stand there. Oh, I'm trained. The move comes more than a year after two foot pursuits ended with fatally shooting a 13-year-old Adam Toledo and 22-year-old Anthony Alvarez in separate March 2021 incidents. Toledo and Alvarez, who were armed when they ran from police in separate March 2021 pursuits, were not mentioned in the news release announcing the policy or the policy itself. Toledo was shot in the chest after dropping a gun and raising his hands, and Alvarez was shot in the back while brandishing a gun. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, or Foot, demanded Foot. Hey, me, wait, I'm seeing a connection in the simulation. Lori Lightfoot, you're not allowed to chase? Demanded that the department create an interim policy after March 2021 shootings, and the county's top prosecutor harshly criticized police over the Alvarez pursuit. But back in April 2021, Lightfoot acknowledged that having police officers seek permission from a supervisor before engaging someone in a foot pursuit was not ideal. Hey, can I chase that guy? He's running away. I'm waiting for confirmation. That doesn't make sense. She says, I don't want people out there who are dangerous to think, well, if I just run, then I'm safe. I can continue to wreak havoc, the mayor said. We can't live in that world either. Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown told reporters Tuesday that police had been discussing a foot pursuit policy for several years before those shootings happened. Aside from the tragedy of the wrongful deaths, this is my words now, in this report, which obviously no one supports or condones, the key line is, I don't want people out there who are dangerous to think, well, if I just run, then I'm safe. I can continue to wreak havoc. The mayor said that. We can't live in that world either, she said. But that is the world that they are obviously creating. This is insane on the face of it. You are basically giving criminals a pass and making the already very difficult job of protecting and serving in the modern age near impossible. Not even sure what else to say about it. I guess the silver lining is running shoes will be booming in Chicago. So there's that. A slight recovery in the running shoe department in Chicago's economy, of course. But why buy them? Just try them on and then take off running. You have a pass to do just that. No one but a good Samaritan has any power to stop you. And even then, they'd probably arrest the Samaritan for assault. We live in the upside down with idiots running the show, or not idiots, but rather an evil thread dedicated to chaos, dedicated to upheaval on every level of society across all walks, each policy in every lane of life more insane than the next. They all reflect each other, the absurdity of them. This running away policy is to crime what vaccinating six-month-year-olds is to health, as endless athletes die of supposedly mysterious causes, just as with fuel, we're cobbling America's ability to cultivate its own resources as fuel prices go insane. None of it makes any sense unless the sense it's trying to make is destruction. That's the only explanation that takes cognitive dissonance away. That's how you pinpoint truth. What is the explanation that relieves cognitive dissonance? That is your bingo, man. You're listening to TNT.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? Well, Steve Conboy is here to tell us about the firebreakers. He said we have a wildfire crisis and we can help reduce loss. That's why he's here. Steve Conboy is here. And he has a big career in preventing forest fires. He started the Mighty Firebreakers. And he's the inventor of Citratec, a patented non-toxic fire inhibitor. Oh, yeah. And his book is called The Chorus of the Song. Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? Oh yeah. Welcome, Steve Conboy. What's up, Steve? How you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. Thanks for coming on so last minute, man. We appreciate you. And I mean, your bio is absolutely insane. Where do we begin? You're the president of the Mighty Firebreakers. Why don't you tell us about the inception of that organization and how it plans to help save this wild world we're living in?
You know, you were singing about the book, Nature's Screaming, Are We Ready to Listen? And I wrote that book because I was just showing people what we've done since the housing boom after World War II, and what we've done to the environments and what we've created in building houses in wooey wildland regions and what we need to do to defend them. My next book is about Big Wood, a 300-year-old growth tree, and he's having a conversation with Little Wood, who is a 10-year-old tree. Little Wood asking Mr. Wisdom, a 300-year-old tree, why are humans so screwed up and ruining everything? So the bottom line is Mighty Firebreaker set out first to defend wood frame buildings in high density urban infill from all the arson activity. I did around 20 million square feet of living for all the national builders to lower their risk premiums. And now I'm concentrating heavily on wildfire because not only are we in a wildfire crisis, but we're in an insurance crisis where the insurance companies are pulling out. And I understand why they pull out, but I also know how to fix the problem by reducing their risk so they can write the business for property owners when we do our no shortcut documented locked and loaded program to defend homes from wildfires.
And what are the causes of the wildfires and how do you intend to defend them? Is this with the Citratec, a patented non-toxic fire inhibitor? I mean, is this a new invention that they don't use in the fight against forest fires?
Forest fires are using fertilizers, ammonia and phosphates that, you know, EPA is threatened by what it could do to the future of our drinking water. It's also known to kill salmon and trout. And Citratec is a food grade, plant-based, environmentally friendly, human safe, animal safe chemistry. It's a fire inhibitor, not a fire retardant. Fire retardants being dropped out of the planes, millions and millions of gallons are there to slow the fire so the ground crews with handheld digging tools can get control of the fire. My chemistry is a fire inhibitor. So whatever we spray it on, when the fire arrives, it's going out. So I'm saying, why are we fighting the dragon? Let the fire burn back up. We're living in a developed America with roads everywhere, even in national parks. So why are we using so many planes when we have roads where we can spray fire breaks off the side of the road? It's safer, it's more cost effective, and we can spray deeper fire breaks, longer fire breaks around communities. So when the front lines with the planes and the ground crews lose to the fire, when the winds show up, The second line of defense is in place to save the community.
How did you develop this technology? What led to this? How does somebody come to this? What's your background that led you into fighting this?
I'm a carpenter that left Brooklyn in 1975 at a local 940 and transferred to California to build in the housing booms. And then I transferred over to engineered wood as a technical engineering rep for the engineered wood industry. When the I-joist came to market, we used to call it the silent floor. And after a few years of using it, the firefighters changed the name to the silent killer.
What was that called? Sorry, Steve. Steve, what was that called? That when the something came to the wood,
it was originally I-joists were called
I-joist.
Silent floor.
Wait, you got to say that a little slower for us idiots. I-joist. What's that? I-joist.
Weyerhaeuser, truss joist, McMillan, Weyerhaeuser, TGI's. They're a manufactured floor joist.
What's a joist? Give me the layman terms. What's a joist?
It's the beams underneath your plywood floor to hold your floor up.
Oh, okay. And they were flawed because they were extra flammable. Is that, am I gathering that correctly?
Yeah, okay. So the firefighters would collapse in the floors and die, so they called it the silent killer. And that's when I set out I got into fire science and to make those safer. And
so
when I created.
You're talking about a joist, right? A J-O-I-S-T, joist. Is that what it
is? Yes.
Is that how you spell that? Okay, yep. Joist. I didn't hear that right. Okay. So the joists are the culprits that they collapse. So they're a killer because if a structure catches on fire, those are going to collapse, the floor is going to collapse, and the whole thing's going to be a nightmare. And so what did you do to try to prevent that from happening?
I created the most cost-effective fire protection that could be sprayed on the lumber on the entire interior of the building as it's going vertical. And I would prove it in fire training academies all over the United States, where I would build one raw wood building. And one building I sprayed weeks ahead of time. And then we'd hit them with fuel and light them both on fire. And the raw building would burn and collapse. And the building that I sprayed would go out. And I
okay,
did this in
so
fire
the,
training academies.
Okay, so how did you come up with this spray? Seems like a chemistry thing. And you're a carpenter. What led to the invention of this? What did you discover where you're like, hey, I know what I can do. I can put this together and with this and spray it all over this. How did that work?
I worked with scientists via scientists. And, I worked with scientists in Switzerland and Germany. And you just can't be afraid of how you can package up chemistries and test them to see what they can do. And when I found this chemistry that's a food-grade chemistry, tripotassium citrate, that's in all your foods, it's in your drinks. And basically, it rattles the free radical chain in the oxygen arm, and the oxygen just falls apart, so the fire can't even exist.
Wow.
And I'm the first one. I'm the
Dude,
first
that
one.
That sounds kind of like genius, though. It sounds like how did I'm just I wish I knew how your brain thought of that. That's what I'm trying to get at.
You know, I didn't want to use the chemistries that were being used. I was trying to come up with something that's environmentally friendly, human safe, friendly, UL Green Guard Gold, safe around children and in schools. And something that's not going to defend the future of the environment. And it's amazing what you can do when you find these citric salts and what they could do to the chemistry in fire and the combustion of fire and the oxygen arm to be able to rattle the free radicals as they're being created so that the oxygen arm just collapses even at 3,000 degrees.
Can you explain that slightly, just a little bit? Like when you say oxygen arm collapses, you got to understand you're speaking in a language most of us have never heard before. So what is an oxygen arm collapsing?
What happens in fire? You have a fire triangle. You've heard of that, right?
No.
A fire triangle. A fire triangle needs the heat. It needs the fuel, and it needs the oxygen.
And the oxygen, right?
And any one of those gets interrupted, the fire can't survive.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense.
To attack the oxygen arm is the fastest way for early fire elimination.
I see.
And you know, to be able to do it in a way where it's safe chemistry, it's as clear as water, it has no odor, is what we're all about. I also patented the atomization of chemistry, where I'm basically using atomizing cannons to micronize the chemistry in water to attack the oxygen leg even faster, because you're micronizing the chemistry and you don't need to use as much chemistry to break down the fire, which is really big today in our drought regions, because I can put fire out with hundreds times less water than what firefighters are doing today.
How are you doing that?
Well, atomizing cannons are used for dust control. So if you were using a spray nozzle, you wouldn't be able to control the dust the way you can if you fog it. And the atomizing cannons can blow up to 300 feet deep. So with this chemistry that doesn't have the solids that the fire retardants have, when I'm done in blending, it's the same consistency as water. I can atomize it. And when you atomize it, I can throw it further and fire breaks more cost effectively, using less chemistry to cling around vegetation fuels. And in active fire, I can put a fire out using so much less water, because the atomization is hundreds of times less than using a spray nozzle.
This is fascinating, man. This is really, really interesting, man. I appreciate you breaking it down for me, sort of. And I apologize for cutting you off and trying to get these explanations, but I just want to really understand what we're talking about. So I appreciate you walking me through it. Let's see, what can a mighty firebreaker provide better proactive wildfire defense to defend the sequoia trees than what we saw last year? You already answered that, really, didn't you?
No. You know the giant sequoia trees, the giant redwood sequoia trees that were burning in the national parks last year?
Yeah.
News broke this week. I saw it in the San Francisco Chronicle that Congressman Peters in San Diego and Congressman Kevin McCarthy are pushing Congress to get funds to defend the sequoia trees. And what they did last year, they were wrapping them with foil, and we lost a lot of these historical trees to fire. And I'm reaching out to both congressmen, telling them I could get in there and spray around the tree, spray up the tree, and the fire can't get near the tree. And I'm doing it with environmentally friendly chemistry that supports root growth. So what I'm getting at is, when they're out trying to get money to defend the trees, I wrote a Wildfire Defense Act that I'm hoping Congress would accept. And I'm saying the best way to defend American homes is to make the money that's used to harden homes to take away the risk of loss a tax credit. And by doing that, we'd get thousands and thousands of houses defended, so we don't have to lose them the way we've been losing them year after year.
Now, are they amenable to your suggestions and your discoveries in this, or are you getting resistance?
Well, the firefighter unions give you resistance, right? Because, you know, for them, it's, you know, in all the demos I've done all over the United States, they always say to me, good luck getting upstairs. We have job security.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you got to be patient with them. You got to be respectful with them. But yeah, I'm saying that we need to embrace new science. We need to embrace no shortcut, proactive wildfire defense for American homes and American communities. We can't just keep losing thousands and thousands of houses and whole towns because what they're doing is not working.
Well, Steve, so listen.
Rather than telling them to replace what you're doing, I'm saying, why don't you just keep doing what you're doing with the planes and with the thousands of guys on the ground? And just add my program as a second line of defense. So if you get taken over by the fire, the second line of defense is in place to save the town.
I got to go to a break, but listen, Steve, new ideas are hard to push forward, and it seems like you have some genius in this regard. I mean, I've never heard anyone speak on this before, really, and you're blowing my mind with some new ideas. So thank you for coming on, and we'll be right back with Steve Comboy of the Mighty Firebreakers right after these words on TNT.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
This is a very interesting way of enslaving a lot of people. They just deem something illegal. They just put you into the red zone. They say that you're now a biohazard. You might not be able to fly because you've exceeded your carbon emissions limit. What really worries me here is that there's this weird kind of outsourcing of individual intelligence to centralized intelligence. And I cannot see the upsides to this other than really, really good marketing. And it's quite scary. Do you agree with me on my assessment about the dangers of digital ID and central intelligence?
Absolutely, yeah. In our magazine, you know, Covert Action Magazine is devoted to exposing, you know, providing, you know, scrutiny and exposure of the abuses of intelligence agencies. And this is, you know, a worldwide phenomenon that, you know, George Orwell would be rolling his grave at what's going on today.
Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Need an electrician.
Do you need police, fire, or ambulance?
No, I just need an electrician. I've got a couple old crappy PowerPoints I need to get changed
Look,
over.
Look, I'm sorry. I can only connect to the police, fire, or ambulance.
Well, I need to talk to an electrician.
This is for emergencies only.
This is an emergency. I'm moving into the house and I need to get an electrician to change these PowerPoints.
000's sole job is to connect you to your nearest emergency service. So please, stay relevant and save 000 for urgent assistance only.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, Veterans Strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
If you want the jibby jab,
all right, enough,
then you've come to the wrong station. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? Steve Comboy's figuring out how to silence the fires. Nature is screaming, are we ready to listen? With Steve Comboy. So, Steve, when did you discover your gift for chemistry? I mean, you're a union carpenter, and do you just like, are you just dreaming these ideas up? I mean, it sounds a little like Einstein or Tesla or something to me. It's just like, I mean, who thinks like this? How did you, what's your background? What do your parents do? Where did you get this gift?
I was in value engineering on high density housing, trying to figure out cost effective ways to use less lumber to build stronger buildings. And part of the value engineering went into fire defense. In other words, firefighters today are using a handheld digging, you know what a hoe is?
Yeah.
Where it's like a shovel, they dig a fire break.
Yeah.
And you got hundreds of guys out there digging these fire breaks. Exhausting digging fire breaks in the hot weather, in the smoke. And, you know, you got hundreds of them. And I put on a backpack cannon that can spray a fire break. So one man can spray a fire break longer, wider than 100 guys digging a fire break all day long, and a guy with a backpack could do that in 10 minutes. So what I'm saying is, right now there's a crisis in the with a shortage of firefighters because they're all coming home with post-traumatic stress and they're quitting. And I'm saying, well, you can't blame them. We're subjecting them to radical risk. And these people have families. So how do we help them get the job done with less people, less stress, and these atomizing cannons fit right over your back and spray a chemistry that'll stop a fire faster than any dug fire break would ever happen. You know, it's just amazing, right? You see the Wolseley fire that jumped the 101 and took out Malibu, or the Tubbs fire that jumped the 101 and took out Santa Rosa. You could spray fire breaks on both sides of the freeway so it can't jump the freeway.
Right.
The chemistry gets sprayed on the vegetation fires advance on, and when it's bone dry 2 months later, you can't light it with a 3,000-degree torch. So can we beat them? Yes.
Okay, so how do you get these ideas pushed forward? How do you like move forward with this past the resistance? Because, you know, if I take your word for what you're saying, which I have no reason not to, and it sounds genuine and real to me, what's the next step in making them employ this research you've done?
Well, we're starting to see there's some crisis happening with the shortage. Cal Fire is big in California. News came out on them. That's not too good. There's some type of investigation. I mean, at the end of the day, there's big money in owning the planes and dropping 18,000 gallons at a time. But what really bothers me is when you're dropping millions of gallons of this chemistry into the environment, and we're still losing, you know, whole towns. Something's wrong. You see the fire that's burning in New Mexico? Mm-hmm. We're over 65 days. They've dropped over 5 million gallons, and the fire is still burning, wiping out the whole state. At what point are we going to recognize that? Let's open the door up to some new American innovation that's proven with accredited science and try it. And that's what I'm up against.
So you're up against financial stuff, really, it sounds like. You're up against big business. And that's kind of across all walks and all these things. It's like with big pharma, same thing. It's like there's safe and effective Absolutely. Treatments for COVID, but they get demonized. So it seems like you're kind of like ivermectin for forest fires.
Yep. You hit it on the head.
Good. I'm glad I understand. Well, yeah. Then what's your plan? What's your plan to make it push through? How do you get people on your side that have the power to do this?
Well, you know, you just got to spread the word in your social media campaigns. I now have a U.S. forester really excited about what I do. Can't believe it. They're the guys, the foresters are the guys that are out there trying to save the forest. And I'm saying we don't have to lose any of them. If we stop fighting from the air and start getting on the ground, spraying underneath tree canopies, we will shut fires down faster than they've ever seen before. So, you know, I'm meeting the right people. I just opened up the Wildfire Depot in Sonoma County. And that's it. That's a facility for training, teaching insurance companies, teaching firefighters, training general contractors in my no shortcut wildfire defense program with my locked and loaded system to put on houses.
It seems to me if you could go battle a few fires with these systems you've created and have massive success documented, that would help push it through. I wonder if you can get like some kind of a fire department to employ it.
Yeah, Friday I'm up in that very, very wealthy area in Santa Barbara where all the movie stars live and Oprah lives. Mm-hmm. I'm going into that neighborhood on my first house. In other words, look at it this way. If you got all these houses at risk of loss to wildfire. And the scientists are starting to point out the most vulnerable cities and regions for wildfire loss. And a lot of the wildfires today, just so you know, are arson activity. So we've had a lot of arson activity, a radical amount of arson activity in May, and we're already seeing it in June.
How can you tell it's arson?
They catch them. I think there was like 40 of them in May.
That's crazy.
There was one off of Bohemian Highway where the arson set three fires. But yeah, a lot of these fires are arson. There's no lightning, and all of a sudden there's fires all over the place, right?
Right.
So just angry people. But, you know, when you think about buildings that we build, high-rise buildings, what's in the building to save it from fire? A sprinkler system, right?
Yeah.
That's proactive. My proactive program is to put a sprinkler system on the roof of the house, off the side of the hillside, tied to a tank of the chemistry, tied to a pump. And when the property owner is told to get ready, start to pack up, you might have to evacuate, push the button. And the house gets saturated, around the house gets saturated, off the slope gets saturated. So when the fire arrives, it can't win. So we
that
can
seems
beat the
real
fire.
Logical. Yeah, why isn't that already a thing that everybody's doing in those areas? That seems so logical.
Well, you know, there's a wolf rescue in San Diego that I've been defending the wolves and their habitats for 3 years. And, you know, when they cage animals, rhinos and giraffes and lions and tigers, they almost should be forced to put in some type of habitat wildfire defense system because you took away the animal's ability to run.
Right.
So I put systems in the habitats, and you can put systems on houses. You can put systems off the side of the slope because you can beat the wildfire if the chemistry is on the fuels that the wildfire has to advance on before it arrives. Wildfires are lazy. They're looking for easy ignition. They have to advance or they burn out on themselves. When you get this chemistry, this fire inhibitor chemistry on those things it advances on, it can't advance. And that's how we can save houses. So I'm hoping Congress will...
How much are those systems to put in, approximately?
Well, a typical 3,000 square foot house might be 8,000. Right. And I finance them up to 10 years if they need it.
Right.
So it's nothing. Big houses off the side of a slope, you know, we put in 450-foot long systems. And, you know, they could be $25,000. I actually have a drug and alcohol rehab that needs a system. And they need like a 700-foot long system. See, a lot of buildings are built on the top of a slope and underneath them is all the vegetation.
Right.
And once that vegetation catches on fire, it's moving north, up fast. It just takes right. The buildings.
So tell me about your book, Nature Screaming, Are You Ready to Listen? What kind of topics does it cover? Is it mostly about fire or is it about other things?
It's about... lumber. So I'm a lumberman, carpenter, and I'm basically saying that humans have cut 50% of the trees off the planet, and trees sequester the CO2 that humans create, that you create, that I create. And what happens if we plant the trees as fast as we cut the trees to support the housing starts, the shelter that you and I need to survive? Those trees that we plant sequester the CO2. And in the first 10 years of the tree's life, it sequesters most of the CO2, more than it does for the next 20 years before it's harvested. So trees sequester CO2 that you and I create. And I'm saying if we basically take the lumber that we use to create shelters and housing and we fire defend it. We're fire defending the carbon CO2 stored in the wood fiber from ever being released back into the environment. We're creating the biggest carbon defended sinks the world's ever known. And it should be worthy of a carbon trade, because we can calculate the amount of carbon in the board footage of lumber. And when you defend it from the fire, you create a carbon trade, so the value-add fire protection should be free.
Right.
So,
tax-free.
I'm just saying, nature's been screaming at us, but we haven't been paying attention.
And why do you think that is?
Human greed. Look what we do to our water. Look what we do to our rivers. Look what we've done to our forests since the housing booms. We butchered the old growth. You know, we gotta pay attention to nature, plant as fast as we harvest, because we're harvesting to support shelter and housing starts. So creating a carbon trade would support planting more trees. And so that's what the book is all about, what we've done since World War II to go from brick and mortar housing to lumber built housing to cross the United States to create a lot of pollution in our rivers and streams and butcher the forest. And if we start paying attention and get reforesting, planting more trees, it's going to support sequestering more and more CO2. Let's face it. All the clean energy in the world with wind and solar is not going to give you any gain at all until we figure out how to put wildfires out faster. Because the wildfires are creating so much greenhouse gas, it undermines every gain we make in clean energy. We have to put them out faster. We can't let a wildfire burn for 65 days through the whole state of New Mexico.
Right.
We got to open the door to American innovation and test every bit of American innovation that shows up, because we are in a crisis. We can't even put the fires out before they consume whole towns. Is that big union stuff?
Yeah. When you were talking about firefighters having post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of the dangers of their job, can you describe more how they have to fight fires in forests now? And why it creates post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, that's a big crisis right now in the news with the shortage of federal firefighters. There's not enough firefighters to man even all the fire trucks 7 days a week right now. And post-traumatic stress is a lot of these guys are subjected too close to the front line of the fire. And they're given a handheld tool to dig fire breaks and chainsaws when the fire is just raging at them. And basically they're out there spending radical hours out in the middle of nowhere for two solid weeks away from their families for months. These guys are coming home with post-traumatic stress, and it's creating a shortage of firefighters. So how do we win over this year's wildfires that they say are going to be the worst we've ever had? They're already being the worst we've ever had. How are we going to do that with less firefighters? And I'm saying the way we're going to do it is we're going to embrace the second line of defense with atomizing cannons, because we can tow them behind 7,000-gallon tanker trucks. One guy drives the truck, the other guy mans the cannon, and you can spray 300-foot deep fire breaks that are tracked and mapped miles long. We would say
makes sense to me, man. I just want to figure out a way to make the people use this system that you've created, or at least try it out. It seems like kind of a no-brainer. It's a losing battle as it's going now. So I don't know how you take it to the next step. Is there a way people can contact your organization and help out?
Yeah, just go to info@MightyFireBreaker. If you're a firefighter or a fire chief and you want to try it, I have all the accreditation I need. The only accreditation I'm going for right now is federal for aerial delivery. And but otherwise, I have all the accredited testing, everything you need, and we'll come and show you how it works. but we can show you how to win over firefighters in your community with what we do, spraying fire breaks. And, you know, maybe what's going to happen, if I can get a hold of, I've already gotten a hold of Congressman Scott Peters, and if I can get him and Kevin McCarty together to use this product to defend the sequoia trees from the fires, maybe that's how we'll get the attention of some of the other foresters and some of the other firefighting organization like the IAFF.
Right. All you need is one big win, and I think it would help a lot.
That's
you know,
it.
If people right actually on, utilized it. Well, Steve, listen, we got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Steve Convoy after these short words on TNT Radio.
The Biden administration begs for more oil, at the same time saying we need less oil. Confused? So is the CNN anchor.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Biden's Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm demanded oil companies make massive investments to increase supply now, while simultaneously demanding they shut down oil within a decade. Here's the clip.
Are you telling me you want them drilling for more oil? You want the refineries putting out more gasoline in 5 or 10 years?
What we're saying is today we need that supply increased. Of course, in 5 or 10 years, actually in the immediate, we are also pressing on the accelerator, if you will, to move toward clean energies.
Yes, you heard that right. More oil now, less oil now. This passes for logic in the wacky world of the climate agenda. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Winter has really set in. Time for hot drinks, warm soups, a relaxing bath and cranking up the heater. Did you know that all these things present a burn hazard for children? In fact, 79% of burns happen in the home. June is KidSafe's National Burns Awareness Month. Visit kidsafe.com.au to download the free burn safety checklist and get some essential tips for keeping kids safe in your home. And remember, when a burn occurs, apply cool running water for at least 20 minutes. No oil, butter, ointments or ice. Always seek medical advice if the burn is larger than 3 centimetres.
News more twisted than soap operas.
Ugh.
And with worse actors.
You can't be serious.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Steve Convoy, whose mighty firebreaker has innovative technology to help the forest fire problems that we're all facing. My producer, Tim, is in Australia, and he say they need that in Australia. Have you thought about going to other countries with this, Steve?
Yeah, I had Switzerland calling me today and Greece. I have international patent protection, so we're open to help any country. Yep. They do need it in Australia. They're fighting fires the same way we are in the U.S. with labor. You know, it's like the firefighters think you can beat the fire with brute force. You know, that's what they're trained. They're trained. They're great in rescue. They're trained to, you know, help us evacuate and rescue people. We honor them. But you don't beat fire with brute force. You got to beat it with science and chemistry. It's chemistry. So break it down, and that's how we're going to win. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
I got a fire chief
called 3 years ago. He calls me up, and he says, I saw you on the news, and I'm retired fire chief so-and-so, and I saw you in the news, and I'm your biggest skeptic. And I said, well, you're all skeptics. Let's have coffee. And I started meeting him every week and showing him what I do. He put me to the test in fire training academies all over the place in front of his peers to prove it. And now he's 3 years into it, and he's a big supporter. Every year he sprays his Christmas tree with my chemistry in the beginning of December, and then he brings it to me the end of January and says, let's try to burn. And we can't burn it. So
that's wild.
You know, these fire chiefs, fire officials are skeptical. They think they've seen it all. And like everything, we have to advance in technologies, and we have. So we can't just keep racking up the kind of losses that we're seeing. You know what it's like to lose your whole house and everything in it? Can you imagine?
Terrible. I can. Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. Well, I hope you get it pushed through, man. Tell me about your children's book.
That's a good book. I got a Hollywood producer in Malibu that wants to do the movie on it. I got a book company in Florida that wants to publish the book. I'm writing the book. It's all kind of animation, cartoon figures of an old growth tree who's been around for 300 years on the planet. I call him Mr. Wisdom. And the juvenile tree is a 10-year-old tree who's asking Mr. Wisdom questions about, you know, why are humans not listening to Mr. Convoy and what he's saying? So rather than me saying it and pissing everybody off, I figured I'd let the trees have the conversation so it doesn't have my name all over it.
That's
funny. Can you imagine people, can you imagine adults reading the book to their kids and going, wow, he's right. So I think it's a great book series for kids to learn what we got to do to defend our water. We can't be dropping fertilizers from planes that support blue algae growth, kill the fish, kill the frogs, kill the plant life, or we're going to have a major problem in the future when it comes to our drinking water. You know, right. We can't have crisis and make a new crisis out of it because we're not paying attention to the science that we're using. So, you know, I say to people, now, listen, cars advanced, right?
Yeah.
First they had seatbelts. And then they went to airbags. That's an advancement to reduce risk. And that's right. What we have now in fire.
Well, do you think the mandates have had something to do with decimating the fire department?
What kind of mandates?
The vaccine mandates, COVID shots.
Oh, no. I had the retired president of the FDNY union. He's another guy that called me up and said, I think you're full of bull. And I saw you in the news. I said, oh, why don't you get your butt on a plane and come out to California? I'll prove it to you. He's now a 10-year friend, but he told me with COVID, he says, it doesn't matter. They're going to put them right into arm's way. They just shove them right in there. So, no, I don't think that's the shortage. I think that post-traumatic stress is because they're just overworked, because they're doing right. It with labor, fighting it with brute strength instead of can you picture yourself digging a fire break all day in the heat and smoke with a shovel?
Sounds like hell on earth. It really does.
Right. Versus walking around with a backpack, spraying the fire break. I did a control burn up in the backside of Malibu and Ventura with Ventura County Fire Department. I had a fire chief set it up with the wildland fire chief of Ventura County, and he had me come out the day before to spray a fire break. And then he said, come out tomorrow. We're going to have, 100 guys out here. We're checking their endurance digging fire breaks in the hot sun.
Jeez. Wow.
So we sat there all day, and at 4:30, they lit up the hillside to check out my fire break that was now dry. What they didn't realize is we took out giant sheets of plywood and cut out the name Save Cali. We laid it on the grass and sprayed it, and then took the plywood away. When they burned the fire break, it shut them down right away, and then the letters Save Cali didn't burn. And then the fire chief was so blown away on how fast we stopped the fire, he used his diesel fuel and gasoline torch where they dropped the flame to do backfires. As fast as he walked on the fire break, he dropped the diesel fuel and gasoline, and then we put it out with the fire break that was sprayed the day before. So we've proven it over and over and over and over all around the United States, where we take the laboratory test results out into the real world, witnessed by fire chiefs and fire marshals, and prove it to them right in front of them. And we always get the same response. Good luck getting upstairs. We have job security.
It's crazy. Seems like in every department, it's hard to make breakthroughs that make common sense. You know, it's really discouraging in that way. But I guess you're doing everything you can. You're doing interviews. You're writing books. You keep pressing and keep moving forward. I guess that's all you can do. Get alliances and get the word out as much as you possibly can and keep proving the skeptics wrong. There's big fires here. I'm in Arizona and there's big fires here as well.
Oh, it's crazy. Arizona. Yeah. You know, it's sad that Flagstaff fire, it's just burning right to take out that whole town. See what we would do. It's a fire. If a fire is approaching the town, we would let the firefighters go out and fight the front line. And we would come in with atomizing cannons and fog every building in the whole town. Fog it with the chemistry.
Now, what if you just took it upon yourself as like a put together a volunteer unit with your technology on hand and just went to the sites sometimes and just sort of proved it that way? I mean, would you get arrested? What would happen? I mean, that seems like they would appreciate it. I mean, there would be extra people there fighting, and then you could take footage of it and you could sort of prove it that way.
Yeah, we have a lot of footage. You know, in my grand opening on Earth Day at the Wildfire Depot, I had the fire departments there, a lot of fire officials, and a lot of residents from Sonoma came in. And I did a tabletop wildfire demo where I had a little village at the end of the demo, and the dry fuel driven by a fan blew right to the village, and it went out because the village was sprayed. Then I built what's called my fire resilient sheds and tiny homes for homeless communities. And it has 6 layers of Class A fire protection. So I took one of my sheds in front of 100 people with cameras going and fire officials there. I piled up dry hay on all sides of the building, lit it on fire. The flames were 6 and 8 feet on all 4 sides of the shed. When the fire went out, we opened the door, and inside the building was cooler than outside. So what I'm saying is, if you live in a wildland, wooey fire region, if you have one of these sheds, it's safer to put your valuables in the shed than loading your car, because people lose all their valuables because thieves follow the people evacuating knowing their cars are loaded with valuables.
Oh, man. I think the vigilante fire brigade is a good idea. I think you should do that like Batman, but with wildfires. That was Tim's idea. I got to give him credit, but it's like, I think you should do that, man. That's a good idea. Vigilante fire brigade. Call it the Batman Flamers, and go out there with your technology. Get some people with some cameras and just show people that it works. Cause otherwise you're just going to be pushing against red tape and industry and all these things that won't let this go through because people are stubborn about the way things get done and how it gets done. And there's too much money involved and you get all these skeptics. And it's like, I think you just got to go prove it. I mean, beyond just experiments, like, you know, where there's an actual emergency. Have you ever thought about doing that? I mean, is that a crazy idea?
Yeah, they block the roads. They won't let you in. But you know what I'm doing is I'm doing a GoFundMe with the historical department in Granville, Tennessee, which is an hour from Knoxville. And the head of the historical department is doing the GoFundMe so we can go in and defend the historical buildings. He said, if we lose these buildings to fire, this town will become history. So I'm working on a bunch of these old gold rush towns above Sacramento to do GoFundMes too, to save history, because we can't afford to lose these buildings in wildland regions.
Right.
So who knows?
All right. Well, Steve, listen, we got 1 minute left. Tell people where to find that GoFundMe. And thanks for coming on the program, Steve Conboy of the Mighty Firebreakers.
Yeah, you can find everything on mightyfirebreaker.com. You can get to me at info at mightyfirebreaker.com. And appreciate this call. We should stay in touch. Maybe do this again, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve. God bless you, man. Thanks for all you do. And keep fighting the good fight, Steve. We're rooting for you. We'll be right back, everybody, on TNT.